Da.
Hi, folks. This is Captain Fred. This is the Fifth Dimension on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is July the 24th of the year 2022. The history of medicinal cannabis goes back to the ancient times. Ancient physicians in many parts of the world mixed cannabis into medicines to treat pain and other ailments. And in the 19th century, cannabis was introduced for therapeutic use in the Western medicine scene. Since then, there's been several advancements in how the drug is administered. Initially, cannabis was reduced to a powder and mixed in with wine for administration. In the 70s, you know, that's a good idea, isn't it? In the 70s, synthetic THC was created to be administered as the drug Marinol in a capsule. However, the main mode of administration for cannabis is smoking, because its effects are almost immediate. When the smoke is inhaled, between 1996 and 1999, 8 U.S. states supported cannabis prescriptions, opposing policies of the federal government. In the United States, the use and possession of cannabis is still illegal under federal law for many, for any purpose. The Controlled Substance Act of 1970 is what caused the huge criminalization of cannabis. There's a lot of people that fell into that trap. And today, I've got my friend Mitchell Bupp, who is, or all of us are, have actually fell into that trap of cannabis. Mitchell, how are you doing today, buddy?
Hey, Fred, how you doing? Like everybody else, it's good, it's bad.
And good and bad.
Well, yeah, sure. And if it gets bad, you can smoke a little weed, and it's better.
you do a morning show on Revolution Radio, and you basically rebut the news that comes over the mainstream media, and that's got to stress you out. Do you ever get a smoke weed before you? Before you do your show, or is it you after?
In the honest truth, it's before, during, and after. I got to keep all the ground covered. No, seriously, I really do get wound up. I get stressed out. It helps me not get so damn mad that I lose my focus. And then, actually allows you to cope with all the craziness, because if you get caught up in all the emotional and all of the action, and next thing you know, between your subconscious brain, which is programmed by the mainstream bullshit machine, people don't know it. Their brain is on the script. It's on a script. It's not one of those illegal drugs that you can go out and get from somebody, OxyContin, oxycodone, Adderall, don't matter what it is. It's the script of the mainstream media. And, that boggles my mind. So, I've been using marijuana as a coping mechanism for stress and life and reality since 1979, I would say. 1979, the first time when I smoked pot in the Marine Corps. But yeah, of course.
Fred, all used marijuana for stress reduction. Or at least we should have all used marijuana for stress reduction. Sam, I've got a couple of clips pulled up about about, well, I've got this clip one is a post-traumatic stress disorder in cannabis study. Could you go ahead and let's play that and give Mitch a little break here real quick.
Oh, man, that's right up my alley.
One thing that I think people forget about cannabis and people is how long our history is. There's evidence of cannabis being used for over 5,000 years. Sometime around the 30s and 40s, therapeutic use of cannabis faded with what is generally now recognized as wrong-headed hysteria and propaganda that stigmatized the plant.
Because of the legal status of cannabis, it's been very difficult to conduct research on the therapeutic benefits of cannabis. The Canadian and U.S. governments overwhelmingly spent money examining the potential harms of cannabis rather than studying the potential therapeutic benefits.
Really, within the past year or so, we've seen the development of licensed producers of cannabis. Previously, it was incredibly difficult to access cannabis for research purposes, and even if you could access it, the quality and variety of cannabis was very limited. So it's a very exciting time for us. We finally have the raw materials we need to do some of the essential human research to find out how cannabis works for a variety of conditions.
PTSD and cannabis study is probably one of the first of its kind in the world. It's the first randomized controlled trial for whole plant cannabis in the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. The study will recruit 40 participants looking at combat veterans, first responders, victims of violent crime. We will bring them into the lab, show them how to use the equipment that we will be providing them. There are four different strains that we are testing based on content of the cannabinoids in them and a placebo control as well.
As it stands, the existing treatments for PTSD are insufficient for a considerable number of people who suffer. So what we're hoping is that we can add to the therapeutic options for treating this debilitating disorder, and that perhaps cannabis will be one of them, and if we find that it's effective.
This really is groundbreaking for using medical cannabis for the treatment of mental health disorders.
Tilray is a federally authorized medical cannabis production and distribution and research organization. We're really taking the lead in opening up clinical research into therapeutic applications for cannabis. As a BC-based company, Tilray is interested in forging relationships with local post-secondary academic institutions, and UBC is the first one that we're happy to announce in terms of a research relationship. We're really excited to be sharing this opportunity and this challenge with UBC.
It's certainly unfortunate that we know so little about the therapeutic potential of cannabis. The scientific community is really hungry for results for a bunch of different potential applications. So I think there's a lot of stuff to be doing, and as a scientist, it's an incredibly exciting area to be in. Even some very basic questions remain unanswered.
You know, Sam, Mitch, yeah, he used the word unfortunate for the fact that we know so little about therapeutic cannabis. And I think that it's more criminal that we know so little about the therapeutic use of cannabis. Mitchell, how many people do you know personally that could have benefited from the use of cannabis in any form? I mean, we all know somebody, don't we?
Oh, gosh. I you know, really... every person in my life, in all honesty, I mean, I won't lie. Every person in my life, gosh, you know, my friend Jeff, you know, he has four or five different kinds of cancer. I'm not sure which anymore. All I know is that, you know, that man, they can't believe he lived 5 years, let alone now going on 12 years. And he has had, they tried to get him to do chemotherapy several times, and he said, hell no. And, or I should say, he did a few of the treatments, and, you know, then he did more research, and then he told them, hell no. But he did targeted radiation treatments. And surgery to scrape out the cancer that was everywhere. But he's all metastasized. And he recently got the got his kind of marijuana card and got himself straightened out with that. And he was really worried about it.
Is that in Virginia, Mitch?
Yeah, we're in Virginia.
sleeping.
You know, we have medical marijuana now, and we also have, you know, it's regulated. It's not decriminalized. It's basically regulated, but for the average person. And, you know, Jeff was worried about, well, in all honesty, his gun rights. And he didn't want to get put on a damn list. And, you know, so when he was talking with his doctor and, you know, his, The way it's supposed to work is they're really not supposed to mess with you unless you're basically violent or violent felon or some shit on guns. I mean, basically, that's how it is. But, you know, the reality of life. So he's worried about it. But his cancer, see, that's the thing. When he, you know, I met Jeff 4 or 5 years ago, seven years ago. And he had really lost weight. He was down to 125 pounds, maybe. He was skin and bones. And his Porsche was broke down along the road. So I stopped to help him, and I towed it back to his house with my car. And I started talking to him, and we became friends. And, you know, I started getting him to smoke weed. And his crazy old lady was there, and that's just all massive crazy story in itself. But so he quit smoking pot a few months ago, and now his cancer has progressed a little more or more. It was, you know, so now he's, you know, he's eating gummies. He's doing CBD. Jeff uses kratom. Using kratom, it relieves so much of his pain. And he takes probably about a third of the prescribed doses of medicines and stuff that they give him. He also takes a dog wormer. I forget what the name of it is, but there's... there's a dog wormer. I can't remember the active ingredient that that helps fight cancer. But, you know, he has four or five different types of cancer, and, you know, it really helps, comforts him.
Mitch, there's so many different cannabinoids. There's been absolutely no real research in the United States about these cannabinoids. In Israel, there are three institutions that are doing extensive research on the cannabinoids and keeping records of what different cannabinoids do different. Before they administer a test, they test the type of strain and what it has and what it does for people. And it's like, where's that been here? It's not been here at all, because the pharmaceutical industry has been in charge of the medical institution here in the United States. Why is it that we still don't have that here in this United States?
Oh, it's the mass psychosis against marijuana in the 1950s, and that through the 60s, and even in the 70s to 80s, and somewhat in early easy into the 90s, where, you know, the reefer madness crowd. My mom.
It's against the people. The people are not to be.
Well, they're so programmed against something, Fred. I mean, that's, you know, my mom died with skin cancer. She ended up with stage 4 lung cancer. And, you know, in the last month or a few weeks, you know, she was really miserable. She was nauseous. She, you know, she hurt. You know, she was just not, you know, you don't feel well. I mean, you're dying. Your body's shutting down. And you know, I tried to talk her, you know, because I'm, you know, I've no secret, really had never any secrets to my mom and dad's about smoking weed. And, you know, I explained to her, you know, that it has benefits and it's, you know, it would help her if she would eat, you know, just smoke a joint with me, mom, or smoke something. And she's like, no, it's, you know, it's against, you know, on her, you know, God, you know, that's the mess. That's the crazy thing. Literally, she's on her, in her deathbed. And she still won't smoke marijuana. Because it's illegal. Because it's illegal, Fred.
It's the stigma.
I was like, holy crap, Mom. You know, so...
Well, during the 1800s, they used it for everything. It was in over 1,000 different prescription patented medicines. I mean, it didn't really become demonized until 1937 when Harry Anslinger did the 37 marijuana law. And ever since then, the cannabis has been outlawed both as a fiber and as a patent medicine. It's just really totally just insidiously criminal that we've been put into a situation where they've taken a medication that humanity has used for thousands of years and made it a felony to be able to even possess it. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm through with that now, and I'm sure you are too, but anyway, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening to this today that have similar stories about how cannabis has changed their lives for the better, and then there's two people that have had stories how cannabis, by the illegalization of cannabis, has changed their lives forever too. It's really a terrible thing that this country's gone through with this cannabis situation. I'd like to put out the phone number here in case we have any listeners that would like to join us in our conversation today, Mitch. The call-in number here on Republic Broadcasting Network is 512-248-8252. Again, that's 512-248-8252, and Sam will be glad to take your call. And as soon as we get it in, he'll message them. We'll bring you in here. But, Mitch, you know, everybody seems to be suffering from stress these days, and there are so many different applications and cannabises that can be used for stress, and nobody's talking about it on the media, except maybe us. but what can we do to make this change? We have to make people aware that cannabis is a real medication for stress. I mean, don't people get it yet?
Well, you know, life is stressful enough, you know, with that, you know, with our personal relationships that can be rocky, you know, and the gaslighting and within families and, you know, just that level of dynamic in our life. And then we have to add in this level of this idiocracy of the bureaucracy that we have here in the United States. And, you know, and that takes on different levels because you got your local idiots, you got your state, and you got your federal idiots, you know, and then you add, you know, all of the mainstream gaslighting on top of that. And, well, amen. Right now here on the East Coast, it's 4:20. It's just the right time.
Well, I've got a couple more hours to that. I've got I'm hoping.
But
we're going to get a call into her event. And she works at the Primo Wild West marijuana shop in Villa Grove, Colorado. So hopefully that'll happen. We've got a caller in here, Bob, in Colorado, as a matter of fact. Bob, how are you doing today?
Man, I'll tell you what. You talking about this stuff with pot and weed and everything else. It is just amazing. I'm 71 years old. I was in the military. I came out of the military. I was a firefighter. And I had a little Honda motorcycle, and so did my buddy. We were only 21 years old at that time. And we went down by the DuPont Mansion down in Delaware. And he went ahead and he fired up a joint. And he said, "You want some?" And I said, "Man, I can't touch that stuff. When I went through the military, they told me that it'll make you jump out windows and stuff." And they actually, boot camp showed us reefer madness. So I was like scared to death of this stuff. He started rolling on the ground and said, "Bob, I've been doing this for a while, man, and it doesn't do anything. I haven't jumped out a window yet." So I went ahead and I tried it. I started smoking ever since. So that was back in 1974, 75. And I'm 71 now, and here we are, 2022, almost 23.
That was the beginning of your life of crime, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. But you know what? You were talking about these tinctures and CBD and all that stuff. There's a place here in Littleton, Colorado, and I've been getting my oils from them, and they're certified organic, and it's called Extract Labs out of, I believe it's Littleton, right outside of Denver. And you talk about their research, they've got it. So that might be something for you to take a look at. And I'm pretty happy at this point at 71 years old, I'll tell you that. I grow my own, so I know there's no bad chemicals in it or anything like that. So.
Yeah, well, that's anyway. The thing. Growing your own is ultimate slap in the face of pharmaceutical. But, you know, it's not the research at the lab that I'm talking about. It's the documentation of what it does, the blind studies, the administration of a particular strain to more than one person, and a study that combines not only the lab research, but also the case studies of the use of cannabis. I mean, until Charlotte's Web, there was no research going on, and Charlotte's Web started people to waken up. And Bob, I really appreciate your call today, man. You know, there's something to be said for us old guys that's been using pot for a long time, and you know, we're a good example. What do you think about that, Mitch?
Oh, that's okay. Thanks, Bob. Yeah, the first time I smoked weed, I remember it easily. I was on the USS Fort Snelling, a landing ship, when we were going on a float, and my two friends, Steve Fisher and Billy Lennon, they're both dead now, and we were down in the well deck, in between, you know, the landing craft, smoking this joint. I had never smoked weed before that. And I smoked that joint, and I remember climbing up the ladder well and going across the underneath the landing deck in the back. And, you know, I was stoned as hell the first time. Bam! I hit my head. That's one reason I remember. I hit my head on one of those big, massive cross beams, and I was like, shit.
You didn't do that, did you, Bob?
You
were rolling around.
Well, I'll tell you what. After I took a couple puffs and we were driving our little Hondas back, I'll tell you what, man. It was like I was like floating on air, man. I had no problems in the world. But anyway, I just wanted to call you guys because I thought this is a very interesting subject that you don't hear too many people talk about because of our government. But you know what? People understand it, and that's one good thing here in Colorado. You're allowed to grow, I think it's up to 6 plants or something on your own. So that'll keep you going for a year. You guys have a good day, and I'll listen to the rest of the show. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Appreciate your call, buddy. No, Mitch, this has been going on for too long. We really need to start people talking about this thing again. And You know, the more we desensitize the conversation about it, the more we open up people's possibilities towards a more stress-free life. We've got another caller, Mitch, Kelly in Georgia. Kelly, how are you doing today?
Hey, Captain Fred, I'm doing all right. How are y'all doing?
Man, we're just having a great conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great conversation, and I want to start off by saying that we are just thrilled in my household that you are back on the air and have enjoyed every show so far, and this is a subject that is near and dear to my heart.
Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate that so much. You know, I've tried to be diversified in the subject matter, but it all seems to keep coming back to cannabis. And the reason why I think that is because I think that's where we can do the most good is by bringing cannabis back to this nation instead of hiding it under the government's control. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Well, it absolutely is, and they know how good it is for us, and that's why they have done such a great job of demonizing it and propagandizing and everything over the past, well, over 100 years now, really, it seems like. But my husband and I are facing felony charges here in Georgia because we were helping a friend of ours whose mother had cancer, and he got in trouble and proceeded to throw us under the bus, too. And so this has been going on since 2018 that we have been fighting this, and because we're demanding a jury trial. And that's just something that I want to put out there. It's really important. If just 10% of the people facing any kind of drug charge, especially something like what we're dealing with, went to court and the prosecutors, and just everybody, the judges, they would all see that juries are not going to convict people on these crimes, what they consider crimes anymore. And
Kelly, wait a second. Now, mm-hmm. you and your husband were helping somebody that was using cannabis?
Yes, he was using it, and his mother had cancer, and so he was getting it from us for her. And then he got pulled over one night and had a bunch of stuff on him that he didn't even get from us, and turned into a confidential informant.
Kelly, hold on just a minute. I want to go further with this from you. This is Captain Fred. This is the Fifth Dimension. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Well, I hope that you've been having the time of your life. Just remember, you gotta always think twice. I remember when, I remember when I lost my mind. But there was something so special about that day. Even your emotions had an echo. So much space. And when you're out there without a care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough.
Yeah, folks, we've been out there with without a touch for quite a while. We've been out there, and Kelly, you know, I don't want to. Mitch was saying off the air that we've got to be careful. If you're engaged in a legal action of some kind, we don't want to say anything on the air that might be incriminating. But, you know, This is a situation. This is a situation that has affected a lot of people. And Mitch was mentioning something about jury nullification, and that's what you're looking for now, isn't it?
Yep. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Our attorney is pretty much the best in the state, and she has she's overrun, all of her cannabis cases have been exonerated or, you know, acquitted, whatever the term is. Some of them have gone as far as the jury selection process, and some have gone all the way to jury nullification where it's just different phases of the trial process where this will happen. And the prosecutor on our case is so worried about her bringing up jury nullification that he filed a motion to prevent her from doing this. So it's kind of weird. You know, he takes an oath to uphold and protect the Constitution of the country and of the state of Georgia. Well, it's written into the state's Constitution about jury nullification. So he's violating his own oath of office by doing this. And we haven't even gotten to that part where we can get this in front of the judge to dispute that motion that he's filing. But it just shows you how afraid they are of it. But yes, that is exactly what we're going for. And we have gotten some publicity already. Hannah Cox who was with the Foundation for Economic Education. FEE is the acronym. She's written an article about us, and I did a podcast. So it has gotten a little publicity, and I do, I'm careful about what I talk about, but it's just been going on so long. Any other county would have probably dropped this case by now. The confidential informant is dead. He died of a fentanyl overdose in September of 2020. So they don't even have anyone that they can put on the stand against us. And so it's absolutely crazy. And just the bottom line, though, is this notion that we have to have permission from another person, another individual who is basically the same as everybody else. The fact that they have the authority, that we have to have permission from them to decide what kind of plants we want to grow and to ingest and to share with other people, whatever. Just that whole notion that we have to have permission is ridiculous. This whole belief in authority has led us to this place that we believe that someone else has the authority to tell us what can be in our gardens.
Hey.
And
Kelly.
So
this government has made people in this country inject experimental concoctions into their bodies. They've made people mask. And this is just an extension. They're extending this cannabis illegality to the point where it's just totally it's not absurd, it's obnoxious. It's the most obnoxious that I can even think of. And
it's
if there's any way...
Yeah.
Well, so what's the outcome? Are they just sliding you, trying to milk you? You say you have a good attorney. Who's your attorney?
Her name is Catherine Bernard. She was just at the Freedom Fest. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Freedom Fest that just took place in Vegas, but she's pretty public. She only practices in the state of Georgia, but she's booked here. We just have to keep getting continuances because she always has jailed cases that take precedence over ours. So we may go back in, we are going back in August, I believe, but I don't know if we'll actually get our chance at a trial then or not. And so we just keep on going.
That's the lady that you were talking about. Mitch, are you still in there?
I'm here, Fred. I'm listening.
Yeah, you were just mentioning Catherine Bernard.
Yeah, I was, looking at jury nullification cases because, and I believe it was up in Michigan or Wisconsin, a man was arrested because he was giving out papers that talked about jury nullification to people that were evidently prospective jurors going to the courthouse. Our government is so far out of control, and our judicial system has jumped the rail. And it's mostly because, government, petty government bureaucrats that essentially want to be in every part of your life from your diaper to your Depends. And, government needs to get the hell out of the way of freedom. And that's what the Constitution is supposed to do. Jury nullification. Well. Is an essential part of winning that battle, but they don't want us to know that. That's why they suppress it so hard.
Exactly. And, Most people have no idea what it even is.
Well, they make cannabis illegal, yet over these years, they've never made, they made alcohol illegal for a few years, and that didn't work out too well, and coffee. Coffee is a pretty good sized stimulant too. I enjoy that. But I think cannabis is set up as an institutional outlaw. In other words, our law enforcement, everybody likes cannabis because they can enforce it easily. They can, first of all, if you use cannabis, you test positive for it for 30 days. So you can't really deny it. I mean, it's a cash cow for a lot of these law enforcement agencies, and added with the Forfeiture Act, where the the law enforcement can seize everything you have if they think you're engaged in selling or distributing, right?
Yep. It's just by the grace of God that we kept our house. I've never been so happy to be in debt in my life, but we owed so much on our mortgage that it wasn't practical for them to take the home. But they took our cars.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
The banks don't want to screw with the federal government to get their property. I'm sorry, Kelly. That's such a terrible situation that you're in, and I don't mean to laugh at it, but you know, we can't let this continue in this country. We can't let this continue in this country. This federal law. And let me ask you: is this are you being persecuted for the federal violation, or is it a state legislation that or a state legality?
Yep, just the state. Yeah, it's the state of Georgia is the victim.
Well, here. What's the law that they're saying that you violated?
We're being charged with trafficking because they took every little seedling, whatever, that, you know, might be down there. They took all that and counted each one as a full-grown plant. So, but for the weight of a full-grown plant. So by the time they tallied all that up, we had a trafficking charge, which when they were booking us, I was like, trafficking? I didn't even understand that. I associated trafficking with, like, the cartels and El Chapo or whatever, you know, and not these, you know, homesteaders. We're in our late 40s at the time. Now we're in our 50s. You know, I'm like, trafficking? What are you talking about? Anyway, so we're getting charged with trafficking, manufacturing, and distribution. Sell. Yeah.
Oh, it's so ludicrous. So, is it a small town or a big town that you're having this problem?
It's a medium-sized town. We're pretty much an exurb of Atlanta, but it's still rural enough to where a lot of the city, like, attitude hasn't gotten up there, although in our case, that would probably help us. But really, I think this whole situation is kind of unifying amongst different demographics. And so whether it's, you know, the good old boys who are out here that just want to be left alone too, or whether it's people who might be moving up here from the city to work in the movie industry because some of that's been moving up here, whatever it is, you know, I think that the jury pool is where our best chances lie. And so I think if we were more urban, this would have been dropped already too. It's just this county is just very stubborn. Put it nicely.
Well, stick with it. Don't give up. Well, you know, to go for the jury, you'll never get convicted, I guarantee you. I don't know, Mitch. I keep seeing the same drama play out in different places in this country, and yet nobody in this government is addressing these issues. We're giving billions of dollars of aid to people that really don't have anything to do with this country. And, you know, we have laws that protect Israel from boycotts, yet Israel is one of the leading institutional research places in the world, yet they're not sharing this information with us. And But why is this happening? Why are we still being persecuted for using a medicine that we can grow in our backyard?
Well, and something that, and I'll hang up after I bring this point up, but, you know, this WNBA star, Brittany Griner, who was arrested over in Russia for having vape cartridges in her luggage. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that story, but she's in Russian jail now, you know, on these cannabis charges. And over here, they're like, oh, you have to free Brittany. We have to get Brittany out of jail and blah, blah, blah. You know, and they're sending the Secretary of State over there and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, hello, why is it wrong for her to be in jail over there when y'all are incarcerating millions of people over here for the same thing? And so it's just, there's just so much hypocrisy. It is farcical at best. It's disgusting, and that's why anyone, you know, tell them just the phrase, no plea for me, because the more we clog up their court systems and make them deal with their foolishness, the better off we're all going to be, and the quicker this whole evil system will crumble, I think.
Amen. I agree with that.
I agree.
But thank y'all for listening. Do y'all have a chat room on Chatango? Do y'all have one of those?
Well, we may have one. I don't know. I remember.
Okay, I was going to post a link to the article about us, but
please do.
See if I can find that.
Or better still, send it to Sam and we can talk about it on the air right now. I don't know that. I know that Mer Bailey set up a chat tango for the Fifth Dimension years ago, but I haven't been to it in quite some time, so I wouldn't know for sure. But maybe a listener will be able to set information. Kelly, thanks for the call.
All right, and thank you, Fred. Y'all keep up the good work.
Well, you know, the more we can talk this up, the better off we all are. Mitch, you know, you were kind of sucked into the same kind of legal dilemma that Kelly was in right now back years ago, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, 1979. Excuse me. 1979 is when I first smoked. December or January of 82 is when I got arrested for sale, the old cliche, manufacture, sale, deliver, because it's all in one statute. And so that kind of sent me down a long rabbit hole itself and really changed my life. But
what state?
I was arrested in North Carolina. So Jacksonville, North Carolina, be specifically. And I think you can even Google it, and it, you know, the newspaper article comes up. I know.
Well, that's really actually a plus for you now, Mitch.
I had bought a pound. I had bought a pound of this. I don't know what it was, Red Bud something or another, and it was really good. And it had
for a pound.
back then for that, when I got for that deal for me to buy it where I was in Pennsylvania, that was if I remember right, I paid $400 for the pound. $400 for the pound. And
in
82 probably in January.
Mitch, I was just talking to a grower here this morning, and he was telling me he's hearing of grows selling pounds for $200. And
And I'm sure the quality of that $200 is, well, let's just say that would be what I had for $400 would be considered dirt weed today. I mean, it was good pot. It was the age of the brown Colombian and everything else that was coming in. And then you'd get some from Afghanistan here and there. And, and then I did see some supposedly Virginia since Amelia during that time. The weed we have today, the marijuana we have today is, it's a lot of times it's a lot better. The flip side of that, potency wise, it's almost all much better. The flip side of
of course, the $200 a pound weed is probably weed that was grown outside around here. In this agricultural country of Colorado, where it's legal to grow marijuana, and it's actually a controlled substance. In other words, they like to control it so they can get as much money out of it.
Yeah.
The outdoor grows are growing thousands of plants, but they really don't use the outgrow for their retail cannabis shops so much. Most of the cannabis shops are...
Well, they can't. It's really almost impossible.
Well, they use it
and, if you think about it, because of the insects, number one, it's because of the dependability of the weather and the lighting. It's the dependability of the growth cycle itself within the business model. So certainly, you know, an indoor grow that flips something over in 90 days or 120 days, you know.
I think each had
their own benefit and their own place. But, you know, if it's for the individual, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. See, if I really was a government agent or, you know, wanted to dispel the marijuana industry and stuff, I would go out and, you know, I would plant male hemp. Plants with low levels of THC in all the open areas that are public.
They did that, Mitch. They did that, Mitch. I think it was.
And I would destroy all the strains, all the high potency strains that people try to grow for themselves. I'm just saying, there's more ways to this method, to this war and madness. But they can never win. You know, it's like I look. There's another something that's parallel today that is the printing, you know, 3D printing of guns. You know, look, you can't stop somebody from growing something outside. You're looking for one plant or a dozen plants and something, you know, you're going to spend so much time, so much resources, none of it's worth it. And it's essentially, you know, that's one of the things that eventually turned the tide, along with the information war that's been lost by the reefer madness cult.
Well, yeah, but we're gaining on the information side of it. I think the whole 3D printed weapon thing is all just a red herring for people to go chasing after. I mean, why would you spend time printing a 3D gun like that when you can buy thousands of Saturday night specials?
Well, I think in something like that, I just think, you know, what people are just thinking, because they're so caught up in like the gun concept, right? They don't think, you know, think of North Vietnamese or the Chinese and the North Koreans during the Korean War, if they had 3D printing and they could print effectively any kind of booby trap or any kind of device or anything they wanted, you know, or they needed within, you know, a half an hour to an hour, and they could mass produce this stuff, you know, I really think it's the concept of printing just a weapon itself, because you can print knives. You know, people don't think about the broader concept. And the same way with the restrictions and the suppression of marijuana as medicine, you know, marijuana as an analgesic and a stress reliever, you know, marijuana, as you said earlier, you know, for glaucoma, where they had to try to, you know, create Marinol. We have all these studies.
Legal cannabis available to the United States by prescription.
Yeah. And, you know, the Democrats, you know, as dumb as they are, and so many other parts of their, you know, their ideology and their platform, you know, the idea about marijuana, you know, and soft drugs, you know, should we legalize fentanyl? You know, of course, and everybody wants to jump to the red herring where, oh, well, we're going to legalize, you know, fentanyl, and we're going to legalize heroin, and we're going to legalize opium, and, you know, people will be growing poppy plants, you know, and tending them, you know, just to make raw opium. I mean, but everybody goes from one place and you open up a Pandora's box. Well, and then, you know, that's the thing. Other people try to stretch that envelope. And I think that's unreasonable in a lot of cases. And in fact, if you know, alcohol's, you know, effectively more dangerous than marijuana every day of the week.
Absolutely. So, alcohol is the most dangerous substance known to man, maybe. You know, don't you think? I've not seen any other drug do as much damage as alcohol. Have you?
No. No. No, not personally. I shouldn't say that because, you know, I know somebody within the last month overdosed because of fentanyl. And, you know, I know another person, another woman that is, I can't say I know her real well, but I know of them and I know the problem. And, you know, she overdosed on fentanyl and almost died. And, I mean, I think they said it took one or two of the Narcans or whatever it is. You know, luckily they had that to save her.
Fentanyl is the drug that has replaced the legal opioids after the medical industrial complex has made that a no-no now. Fentanyl was not anywhere until they started cutting off people's Oxycontin.
So, I can't understand, you know, why, you know, if you overdose and you actually die and they bring you back and, you know, that's not enough to get you to stop doing that drug. You know, it's, to me, that's, I don't know how conceivable that is, in my mind. So, but I understand that everybody has, they have to reach a point to, in something like that case. But, you know, that's not what we're talking about, okay?
Cannabis.
You know.
Cannabis.
Yeah. I don't know when the break is, so.
Yeah, it's coming up here pretty soon. I got this article about Kelly called in here, and we'll get to that after this break right here. This is Captain Fred, and I have my guest today, Mitchell Bupp from Revolution Radio's Revolution in the Morning show. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. Even while we're asleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world. It's my own design. It's my own remorse.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.